As I thought about this scripture this week, I was thinking about how, other than our salvation in Jesus Christ, the Bible is the greatest gift to humankind. It's a best seller. As we talked about with our young folks, there's so much in the book that we call the Bible. The name the Bible, Biblios, actually means books. And we read a lot of stories in the Bible, but most of all in the Bible, we get a glimpse of God's person and who God is. There's references in the Bible to God's personification. In other words, referring to God as a person. The Bible talks about the hand of God. The Bible talks about the works of God. It talks about His foreknowledge. He's referred to as Father. It says that God sees. It tells us that God hears. So we get this concept of the person of God when we read the whole story, God's story in the Bible. As we read it and study it together, and as we come to understand as time goes on, that in this great book is revealed the person and the power and the purpose of God, especially as He works in and through the Bible. He didn't give us the Bible just for fun, just to be a bestseller, just to sit on our bookshelf and make us look intelligent. God gave us the Bible to reveal Himself to us so that we might really truly know Him and know who He is, what He expects of us, and what He commands of us. In the pages of the Bible, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Israel, namely Jehovah, this is translated from Yahweh, is revealed to humankind. The Bible dictionary that I was reading says that the Word of God, although the Bible does not contain a formal definition of the word God, His being and His attributes are displayed on every single page. It's remarkable how He does that. But one of the sad things that's happened today is that many Christians and others have become like those in Athens in Paul's day when he spoke to the people there. If you read in Acts chapter 17, when he was preaching to the people there, he said to them, "Men of Athens, I see that in every way you're very religious. For as I walked around and looked carefully at your objects of worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, 'To an unknown God.' Now what you worship is something unknown I'm going to proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth, and does not live in temples built by hands." You see, when Paul went to Athens, there were all these statues and all these items of religious people. They were worshiping this idol and this god and that god and various things, and they even had this one that said to an unknown God. Paul said, "Let me tell you about this unknown God. Let me tell you about who He is. He is the one true God." Where does Paul get his information? Where did he get his knowledge and understanding of this God? From the Scriptures and his own personal encounters with Jesus Christ. No one knew more than Paul the benefits of reading and knowing the Scriptures and its benefits for humankind. It's the very breath of God as He works in us and through us to draw us to Him and to the Bible, as it gives us life and life eternal. In our text, we see the person of God and His purpose and power and His benefit that He offers in the Bible. Many people will tell you today and in many Bible courses that the Bible is just another literary work of literature that was written long ago in ancient ways and ancient grammar and ancient styles. But I have found in my studies personally that the Bible has more power in it than any other book known to humankind. And there's a reason for that we find when we seriously turn to it and and understand it, and that is it has the very breath of God in it. And He breathes from it life into us as we read it. As we read in our text today, Paul says to Timothy, now Paul was writing, he wrote two letters to Timothy, and he wrote as Timothy was Paul's son in the Spirit. Timothy was a pastor, so we consider these pastoral letters of proper conduct for pastors and what they should believe and what they should do. And he writes to Timothy, as for you, continue in what you've learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it and how from infancy you've known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. Earlier in this letter to Timothy, Paul said, I thank God whom I serve as my forefathers did. I've been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded now lives in you also. You see, Timothy's mother and grandmother were very instrumental in Timothy's faith and in his spiritual life, because they had believed the Scriptures and come to faith in Jesus and taught that to Timothy. And Timothy had learned the Scriptures from his faithful mother and grandmother. Then Paul goes on to say in 2 Timothy chapter 1, what you heard from me, keep as the pattern of sound teaching with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. Now he's saying to Timothy, as for you, continue in what you've learned. Continue in what you've learned from your mother, your grandmother, and from me. Because what did they do? They all agreed on the ancient Scriptures. And Timothy became convinced of that because he had applied them in his life and found out they were true. And from infancy, Paul says, he was taught the Holy Scriptures from infancy. Continue in what you've learned. You know, this is part of our process as Christians, and part of the reason God gave us His Word that we know as the Bible, that we might continue in our spiritual growth. We come to Christ as our Lord and Savior. We become Christians. It does not end there. We turn to God's Word each day to help us to grow, because in continuing as Christians, it means we're to grow. We're to grow stronger in our faith, and as Paul taught oftentimes, we are to mature, and the only way we can do that is to be fed food like we are naturally given to grow and to become strong and become mature. In the same way, Paul uses these examples throughout his letters that we are to continue to grow in our faith using the Scriptures as the foundation. He told the Ephesians that they were to do this so that they were not tossed around by every teaching, because this is what happens in our day and age today. People get tossed around from whatever sounds right one day to whatever sounds right the next day. They don't care. They're just following that way. And the reason they are is because they don't fully understand God's way is one way, and it leads us in the path of righteousness for His name's sake. He criticized the Corinthians. He said, you guys are infants. You're still infants. You should be eating meat. You should be mature by now. See? Because they had not studied and understood God's Word wholly. So he says to Timothy, continue in what you've learned and have become convinced of. What did he learn? He learned the Holy Scriptures from Paul, from his mother, and from his grandmother. And Paul said, you need to continue in this. It's important that you continue in this. We see now God's person and His power and His purpose in this wonderful Scriptures of verses 16 and 17. Paul says to Timothy, all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Some translations word it like this, all Scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. We see, first of all, God's person here in this. And this all comes from His Word. His person, His power, and His purpose, see. We see His person. that God breathed Scripture. All Scripture is God breathed. Some texts say is inspired by God. Secondly, we see His power. His power to teach and rebuke and correct and train. How does God do that? Through His Word. It's useful or profitable for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Now, who's it useful for? Who's it profitable for? God? No, it's for us. It's useful and it's profitable for us in our lives. That's why God gave it to us. So that we can continue, that we can grow, that we can profit from it, and it's useful in our lives to teach us, to rebuke us, to correct us, and to train us. And we see His purpose, that the man of God or the person of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Thoroughly equipped to equip us. And secondly, as He said back in verse 15 to Timothy, that we might be made wise for salvation. So we become wise through the Scriptures and we become thoroughly equipped. People say, well, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. I don't know my Bible. Well, read your Bible. Then you'll be thoroughly equipped. You'll know what God wants you to do. God wants to equip us. He does that through His Scripture, in which He breathed for the teaching and rebuking, correcting and training of you and I. All in His Word. So how does God do this? He breathes. He breathes. In Genesis chapter 2, He took the man from the dust of the earth and He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. He breathed personally. This word breathe comes from a Hebrew primitive root, which means to puff, like a puff of air, or to inflate. He breathed. His air puffed. And the man was given life. Without God's breathing, there was no life. In Ezekiel chapter 37, we read about the valley of dry bones as the prophet saw this vision and was to give it to God's people. He said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. Because the bones were there, but they had no life. They just lay there in the valley and they had nothing. They couldn't move. They had no life in them. He said, prophesy to the bones that I will make breath enter you and you'll come to life. I'll make breath enter you and I'll come to life. I'll breathe into you. This word now in the Hebrew language means to blow or to breathe. And it's the word ruach, which means wind. God says, I'll blow into you, I'll breathe into you. Just like He did into Adam, into the dust of the earth and brought life to Adam. He was going to breathe into these bones and bring them to life. And if you read the story in Ezekiel 37, He did. The bones came to life. How? God breathed life into them. In John chapter 20, after His resurrection, Jesus met the disciples and He breathed on them and He said, receive the Holy Spirit. Now this word Spirit in the Hebrew language is ruach, breath, wind, puff. In the Greek, it is pneuma, from the Greek root word pneumo, which means a current of air. Have you ever heard somebody in a garage with one of those air wrenches? They're called pneumatic tools. Air. They're powered by air. Jesus breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Receive the breath, the wind, the current of air of God. In reference to Genesis chapter 1, when God created the heavens and the earth, the Spirit of the Lord was present. The ruach, His breath, the pneuma, His Spirit was present. It shows God's person, that God breathes and breathed Scripture as He breathed creation. He put His Spirit in it, as Paul is trying to tell Timothy. All Scripture is God breathed. God put His Spirit into the Scripture. He put His Ruach, He put His Pneuma into the Scripture. And we see His power in His Word to teach and rebuke and correct and train, to teach us. To teach us. I don't know anybody that ever becomes a Christian and knows it all. A lot of people who think they do, talk like they do, but there's never been anyone who knows the Bible front to cover, verse by verse, line by line, word by word, and knows how it all applies to God and applies to us. As Paul wrote to the Romans, who has known the mind of God? Who should be His counselor? Nobody, see. So He gives us His Word to teach us so that we might know right from wrong. He gives us His Word to rebuke us, to convict us. Some people say, I don't like to read the Bible because I don't like what it does to me. Folks, if we're not convicted, we're not really going to know the right way to go. Right? And this happens by the Holy Spirit. When we're reading the Bible, we come to a part that really gives us peace and comfort. Oh, we like those parts, and we read them over and over and over again. And then we come to a part that convicts us. It makes us feel a way that we don't like, so we just kind of put them out. We don't preach about them on Sunday, and we don't talk about them because we don't like them. That's part of God's all-encompassing Word, His message to us. In His Word, He straightens us up. He trains us as in education of what is right. When we stop learning because we stop reading the Bible, we're literally going backwards. You see, and sadly, this is what happens to so many Christians and so many churches today. They put the Bible on the back shelf and they cater to pop culture. And pop culture becomes the rule for life rather than God's Word. We see His person in that He breathes. We see that He does it powerfully as He teaches, rebukes, corrects, and trains us. And finally, we see that He does it purposefully so that the man of God might be thoroughly equipped for every good work and wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. In other words, so that we have a perfect finish, so that we're directed all along the way, and when we come to the end of that way, whenever that might be for each one of us, we are directed in the right direction and we're going on the right path. In that right direction. Boy, I can't emphasize enough. You ever want to read a great book, Pilgrim's Progress, and it's written in more modern English that you can understand. There's a version for young people called Little Pilgrim's Progress. It is all about the Christian journey. And it's an awesome story. It's very biblical in the different examples that the author uses throughout the story. But what it does, what the Bible does, it keeps us on that path and on that journey to the celestial city so that we might have a perfect finish. So having a complete relationship with God, and I want you to hear this morning, having a complete relationship with God cannot be attained without reading the Bible. You say, well, what about people who don't have the Bible in their country? That's the purpose of our mission work, to share the Bible with them, so that they can more completely understand who God is. And you know, when Jesus is coming back, the Bible tells us, when that has happened completely and fully in the eyes of God, that all people have come to understand God's saving grace in Jesus Christ. God's Holy Spirit speaks to us from the pages of eternity as God inspired the writers throughout the centuries. And when all this comes together, the breath of God breathes life into human beings through the Bible, in order to make us wise, to save us, and to equip us for life itself. No other book known to humanity has this quality, because no other book is God-breathed. No other book has God's Spirit in it, through it, coming out of it. Now comes the argument. When Paul says all Scripture, let's understand, Paul didn't have the New Testament. All Paul had was the Old Testament, right, when he wrote to Timothy? All Scripture is inspired by God. So Paul was talking generally about the Old Testament. So we say, well, then the New Testament isn't inspired, right? Wrong. Let me continue. In the Old Testament, let me stop and go back a little bit. and we say, okay, Paul says all scriptures. Well, we have a lot of religions, and they all have their own, what they call their scriptures, their holy books, right? According to Paul, they're all inspired by God. God breathed into all of them. Let's think first of all about the time period when Paul wrote this. None of these other religions were in Palestine. Islam wasn't even in existence yet at this time. And yes, there were Eastern mysticism religions and things like that going on at the time. And all these religions have their scriptures that give them some sort of hope, right? For life. The difference is, in the Old Testament, we have the message of hope. And Paul says that is inspired by God. God literally breathed into that scripture a message of hope. The difference is, in Christianity, and our scripture, including the New Testament now, becomes inspired by God because it agrees with the Old Testament. It is the fulfillment of the hope in the Old Testament. No other religion claims that. We claim and we know that we have the hope of Jesus Christ that was promised and inspired by God and breathed by God in the Old Testament writers, was accomplished through Jesus Christ at the cross. It makes our scriptures inspired by God from cover to cover because they don't disagree. The New Testament and the Old Testament agree. They become as a whole the inspired word of God because we have the hope of God along with the fulfillment of God that brings the whole plan of salvation full circle for us. It does not do that in any other religion. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
And the world has to understand this. See, we have the hope fulfilled in Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit does not disagree with God. Jesus does not disagree with God. They are all one together. And in Christ's words and the Holy Spirit's inspiration and the Word of God, they all agree. And let's face it, we don't agree with the other religions and they don't agree with us. Why? Because their scriptures are not God-breathed. Some of them were given by claimed angels. Some of them were inspired by men. Some are wisdom writings. Ours are right from the top. Inspired by God, breathed by God into the writers as they wrote and they agree. They show us a bigger picture of the person of God who breathed this out not just because it pleased him. He breathed it out for you and I's benefit. Folks, this is our strength. This is our rock right here. The Holy Scriptures. Now, I love, I'm just, you know, the enemy's up here saying, yeah, let's see how many people read it this morning. How many people read it yesterday. And I'm tempted to ask. But you know, I think the Holy Spirit's already doing that this morning. I don't need to. Day by day, I don't care if you read one line. I don't care if you read a whole chapter every day. It makes a difference to pick this up and to read something. Say, I don't understand. There are tons, there are volumes of different translations that help us to understand better what we're reading. But I can tell you that when you do read it, in a special way, the Holy Spirit will speak to you about that scripture. How many of you here have read devotions during the day, in the morning maybe, or in the evening, and the scriptures, and you say, oh my gosh, that's what's going on in my life right now. Why? Because of the inspiration of the Holy Spirit that's working in and through and all around us through the Word of God. That's how God intended it to be. He wants you to know Him. He wants us to know Him as who He is. He wants us to learn. He wants to convict us because He wants to direct us. Unless we know that this way isn't right by God's Word, we're not going to be able to stay on the way that is right. And He wants to train us so we can become stronger in our journey to everlasting life. And we do that all through God's Word. Timothy, you know what you've learned and you know who you've learned it from. So continue in that. He wouldn't have said that if Paul didn't have the same conviction about God's word as I do this morning. In our day and age of intellect and criticism, the argument still remains, well, it depends on how you translate it. And yes, it does. I agree with that. As a student of biblical studies at Moody Bible Institute, I can't tell you how much it really does depend on how you translate it. The question is, are you translating it rightly or wrongly? Because you see, unless we look at it properly, historically and grammatically, what did the writer mean? Why did they say that? And how did they say it? We start to veer off by saying, well, that could mean this, and that could mean that. No, it can't. It means what it says, and it says what it means. Why? Because it's inspired by the Holy Spirit. It's God-breathed. See? And God does not change like shifting sands. It meant what it meant then. It means what it means now. And it's profitable and useful for every human being. Let's pray. Lord our God, we just